Good morning, Hope Church. How are we all doing? Lovely, lovely, lovely to be coming your way at this special occasion, Pentecost Day. And I'm so glad that I'll be sharing this message with you because this is something that has really, really touched me so much because I've been a beneficiary of that Pentecostal experience. And this morning is such a great pleasure, oh God, that I'll be coming your way to share this message with you. We'll be taking our text from Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and we'll also continue from Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. I read. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now we go on to chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Yes, God, we need another Pentecost today. Come in your might, in your power, and speak to your church. We pray, oh God, that, Lord, you would take me aside, oh God, but you use this vessel, oh God, to break ground, oh God. Where hearts are hurting, oh God, you will bring relief and comfort, oh God. Where doubts, oh God, Father, you will bring, oh God, Father, your spirit of revelation, oh God, Father. And I pray that, oh God, every hearer this morning will be blessed, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray thanksgiving. Amen. So my theme for this morning is Pentecost, the birth of the church. Pentecost, the birth of the... And I don't know how you felt when you first had your first baby. I can still remember mine. That on that very fateful morning, January 21st, 2009, early morning, 6:30, that my first daughter was born. And I got to hold her. And I was filled with such awe and with such joy unexplainable. And I could remember we were in Southend, and I was just crossing from Southend Hospital, Prittwell Chase Road, going to collect my car and go home. And I was just walking, and I was just bouncing, as if I was just bouncing a trampoline. I was so much filled with so joy, I couldn't explain. I was just asking myself, me? I've made a baby. How could it be? I couldn't imagine myself. And I was so much joyful. And I believe most of you have had that experience before, holding your first child, the joy that it brings you. And that is exactly what happened on this day of Pentecost, that the church was birthed. And there was so much joy, inexplainable. The apostles that were gathered on the upper room couldn't contain the joy that God has sprung upon them. So what did they do? They had to go outside. They just threw themselves on the street and started sharing. They were speaking tongues they didn't understand. But you know what? The people hearing them, all of them could understand them in their own tongues. Those who were speaking Arabic were hearing them in Arabic language. Those who were speaking in Greek were hearing them in that kind of Greek language. And everyone could hear them. And they were speaking amazing things, glorifying God. And they were asking themselves,
And these people, Galileans, and the Galileans, how could they speak our language? Why is it that we could understand them? In my native tongue, probably in my Chi language, they would be singing, Onyami kokro kro beni, Onyami kakra kra beni, Onyami kokro kro, Onyami kakra kra. Abozi nina kutuwo, Onyami kokro kro, Onyami kakra kra. And I could hear them singing. What was the song about? It was God is great, who is like you in might, in power. That's what I just sang. And everyone gathered in Jerusalem on that morning could hear them in their own native language. Isn't God amazing? That when he began to move on this Pentecost day, and he knew that people have come across the whole world, he chose the speaking of tongues to show forth his glory and his power to all the nations gathered on that very morning. But what was the essence of Pentecost? What is the meaning of Pentecost? Pentecost simply means 50 days. That is all in the Greek language. 50 days. So when you hear the word pentagon, that five. So Pentecost meant 50 days. And it was one of the festivals of the Jews. And the festival, they had this real name. It said the Feast of Harvest. Or sometimes they call it the Feast of Weeks. And the Jews also call it Shavuot, meaning 50 as well. And how does it happen? They have three major festivals the Jews celebrated. One of them was the Passover festival. One was the Feast of the First Fruit. And the Passover and the Feast of the First Fruit were celebrated around the same time. Thinking about it, Passover, that was the time all the firstborns of the Egyptians died. And God saved all the firstborns of the Jews because the blood that was on the lintel, on the doorposts, saved all of them, the firstborn. And do you know that around Passover, around that same time, that the firstborn of God, Jesus Christ, was also sacrificed for us? So after the feast of the first fruits, the people will start counting 50 days. And on the 50th day is Pentecost. And it's accredited that on the day of Pentecost, every male Jew, wherever you are, across the world, needs to come to Jerusalem to worship. So if you are in Africa, you got to journey all the way. If you are in Americas, you got to journey all the ways. If you are in Asia, you got to journey thousands of miles to go to Jerusalem. And it's every male Jew. That is the command of God to them when you read the book of Exodus. That on these days, on those three important festivals, wherever you are as a Jew, go to Jerusalem. And they will go there to celebrate. So that is why when the salvation came, the disciples recorded that about 3,000 men. Because it was an obligation of the Jew, the male Jew, that you got to go for pilgrimage. You got to go for renewal of your vows. You got to go and to seek God's face for your family and for yourself. So what is the significance of Pentecost at all? Pentecost first was a pilgrimage. That is why all the Jews, male Jews, had to come to Jerusalem. It was a holy day.
It was a day that Jews affirmed their faith in God. And what the priest would do is that they would remind the Jews of the Ten Commandments Moses received on Mount Sinai. And the Ten Commandments would be read. Early morning, they would all gather in the temple courts. And the Ten Commandments would be read to them. And aside the Ten Commandments, the book of Ruth will also be read to them, because it was a book that signifies the harvest. Now the harvest is in. And if you read the book of Ruth, you know all that happened to Ruth. When hunger came, they left and went elsewhere, and God struck them. And when they heard that, their hometown, or back in Judea, there is abundance of food. They had to journey back. And we know what God did for Ruth and for Naomi when they came back. And my question was, why would Peter stand up on this special occasion to speak about Jesus Christ? If you know of Peter, Peter was a man who was coward. In front of just a maid, Peter for 3 times denied that he never knew Jesus. He cursed. He was feeble. The flesh was weak. Just a maid. A young lady just asking Peter, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" "No way! I swear this, I swear that. I cannot be associated with this man." And he cursed. But on this day of Pentecost, the same man that cowered in front of just a maid could stand in front of thousands of people and to speak. Why? Because the Spirit of God has come upon him. On this day of Pentecost, it could have been a suicide mission for Peter. But the power of God came upon him and gave him strength. Peter, that could have been slain, the mob or the people around could have just dragged him and just slain him, now turn round to slay the hearts of thousands of men gathered this morning. Isn't it amazing what the Spirit of God does when it falls onto man? That the weak become strong. That those who cannot speak on land could stand up and start sharing mysteries in the word. And people were amazed, because these people were on land. They weren't schooled. They weren't one of the Pharisees. They weren't one of the scribes. How come that they could interpret the gospel with such authority, with such power, and with such might? All because the Spirit of God was at work in their lives. On this day is also the day of commerce, because there is so much strangers that has come into the city. That needs to buy stuff, that needs to find accommodation, that needs a place to lodge, and all those things. So there's a lot of money making on this day. But you know what God did? On this day, he purchased the soul of mankind. He took the material purchases away, the commercial things that were happening, and said, "The blood that is speaking better things than Abel's blood is here for you." And that blood spoke, and the hearts of men couldn't contain it. And what it said was that, "Men and women, what can we do? What do we need to do?" And they said, "Repent and receive the Lord." Repent. And you will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Commerce. God
bought the lives of 3,000 men on this day of Pentecost. Thirdly, it was a day of feast, of celebration. You know what the gospel says? It says, if just one soul repents, just only one, there is great joy in heaven. And on this day of Pentecost, after they've gone to the temple court and listened to the Ten Commandments being read, the rest of the day is all about feasting. The rest of the day is a celebration of drinking, eating, dancing, and doing all sorts of things. But you know what God did? He took this day, saved the life of 3,000 men, and you know what? There was a great celebration in heaven and on earth below. Because for the first day, the hearts of men was open to the truth. God emptied the temple on that very morning. The scribes and the teachers were waiting for the congregation to gather, but they never showed up. Why? They were at Peter's concert party. And Peter was sharing the gospel with them. And that's exactly what God has done for us. In this generation, in our time, the Spirit of God is moving. And it's moving powerfully. And I don't know whether you've had that encounter before, but I have had an encounter before. I once, in April 1991, was invited to a meeting, and I didn't want to go to this meeting. And all my thought was that I would go and I would sit by the entrance. And when they close their eyes and start praying, I would sneak out. Because I was at the boarding house, I was going for my preps. And I need to go. But the meeting was just only for 30 minutes. And the senior was supposed to lead the meeting, was supposed to be a prayer meeting. And he said, I feel that God wants me to share this word. And beloved in Christ, every word that that man spoke was all about what I was going to do the next day. Because on the next day, I was standing at Hell's Gate. A senior of mine has promised me that, Sam, I'm taking to one of the girls' school. I'm going to find you a girlfriend. I was so happy. I was so happy. And you know what? I went to this meeting. This man that wasn't privy to our meeting was there and was talking about everything that I was going to do the next day. And I was shocked. And my bum was glued onto the seat. And someone who was thinking of sneaking out, I couldn't move. And I stayed for the whole meeting. I said, wow, what was that? Was that a fluke? But I wanted to test it the second time because they said they will meet again Monday 10 a.m. And I said, I will go and see whether what happened on Friday was just a fluke or it was real. My goodness, I wish I'd never thrown that challenge because I went in and there was just one person in the room, meeting room, just praying. And this guy has prayed so much so that the white shirt that he was wearing was soaked with sweat. And I opened my mouth, wow, how could he pray like that? And for me, coming from the Methodist background, all that I knew was the Lord's Prayer. Even if I should divert from the Lord's Prayer, just one, two sentences, and that was it. And you know what this guy was doing? He was meant to be leading the meeting that morning. So he's coming early to prepare himself for the meeting. And my goodness, when this guy started the meeting, I was just slain by the Holy Spirit. And I opened my mouth and I started confessing. And as I confessed my sins, I began to cry. And on that day, I realized that what the story that was told on Pentecost was real. And I have encountered God face to face. And from that day onwards, I made a resolution. Begone, unbelief. Begone, all the girls' schools around. Begone, every girlfriend. Begone. And for the 3 years that I spent in the school, I did not go to any girls' school to get a girlfriend. And that is what God did for me. I don't know. Had it not been that somebody had the power of God, somebody had that Pentecostal experience and spoke the word that God gave to him, I don't know where my life will have been by now. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a host of revivals that has taken place in this country, across the nations, in America. You could talk about the Azusa Revival, where people saw their hands that were crooked and that shrunk just came and have a full length of arms, where people saw various healings taking place, where the Spirit of God moved powerfully. And I chanced across this man called Rebbe Boer. He said, Bethlehem was God with us. Calvary was God for us. And Pentecost is God in us. Hallelujah. Pentecost is God in us. God is in you this morning, my brother, my sister. If you believe, the presence of God will do a new thing in your life. And as I was researching, I came across this article that was written in the 1739, thereabout. And it was about a small congregation that gathered in London to worship. And this is what the writer said. It says, prior to the revival, the first awakening in England, it says, the spiritual condition in England was said to have been deplorable, a decadent, and a cesspool. The church has become formal and ritualistic. Than listening to sermon, it was impossible to determine if the priest was a if the priests were followers of Confucius or Jesus. Alcohol abuse was rampant, with every sixth house being cheap bar where customers could get drunk on equivalent of one penny. Gangs roamed, terrorizing anybody out after dark. They could disfigure people's faces with knives, stab people, and especially the women they would sexually abuse. Law enforcement was failing, and the criminals were multiplying. The slave trade was widespread. Tickets were sold to watch public execution as if it were theater. Then, of course, these Moravians came in from Germany, and they set up a prayer group. And the prayer group was at Fetters Lane, and it was called Fetters Lane Society. And this is what happened on December 31st, 1938. John Wesley wrote, he says, Mr. Hall, Henchin, Ingham, Whitefield, Hitchin, and my brother Charles were present at one of our love feasts in Fetters Lane with about 60 of other brethren. About 3 in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, in so much that many cried out for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. As soon as we were recovered a little from that awe and amazement at the presence of this of His Majesty, we broke out in one voice, "We praise Thee, O God. We acknowledge Thee to be the Lord." And George Whitefield also wrote his account on the same thing. He says, it was a Pentecost season indeed. Sometimes whole nights we spent in prayer. Often we have been filled as with wine. And often I have seen them overwhelmed with the divine presence and cry out with God. Indeed, and will cry out, will God indeed dwell with men on earth?
How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. Hallelujah. This is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. And the historians write that with this revival, what did was that between 1.2 million people were converted to Christ. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit within this time during the Fetter Lane Watch service from January, the spiritual inauguration for the public ministry of Wesley and the beginning of the Methodist Church. That was when the Methodism was born. And the subsequent spreading revival cut across denominational lines and involved every segment of society. The Archbishop around that time, Randall Davidson, wrote, "Wesley practically changed the outlook and even the character of the English nation." That is what revival is about. We need another reawakening. We need another revival. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I bring my message to an end, if we're a believer, I want to ask you, what is the Spirit saying to you right now? I would like to encourage you, stand firm in the Lord. I want to encourage you, spend time and wait on the Lord. For the people that wait on the Lord, they will be mighty and they will do exploits. If you are someone who have been giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost still goes for you. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has gifts for you, and He wants to lavish it upon you. This morning, even as we celebrate Pentecost Day, may you experience that great reawakening. May you have the Spirit of God liberate you from every bondage. May the Spirit of God open your eyes to see the truth. May the Spirit of God set you free from all ailment. And may you have peace at all times. God bless you. Amen.